This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We are on our own this week. We're going to talk with Mel Ull in the next week or so. Barry, that'll be good.
Who's Mel Ull?
She is the Marketing and Communications Manager for NZ Bridge. Got something to say, and maybe clubs need to contact her a little bit more. We'll be able to squeeze information out. And listeners, you'll find plenty of it pretty useful. You got some results from New Plymouth, Barry.
I have. The winners of the pairs were Hugh and Di McAllister from Tauranga. Second were David O'Shaughnessy from New Plymouth and Bill Humphrey from Kerikeri.
Long way to travel. That's awesome.
It was all worthwhile.
The winners of the Intermediates Junior Slash was Martin Berry and Justine Hart. Runner-up, Jane Shaw and Kay Wyatt.
And in the Open Teams, the winners were the Grant team, which is Alan Grant and Anne-Marie Russell playing with the Henrys, Stephen and Annette from Wellington. So they came from far and wide, Mariana. So we better not leave second off because it was Kermit.
Who
Sam Livingston and Malcolm Mayer, Sam and Joe Simpson.
Nice. Winners of the intermediate teams were the Crawshaw team, headed by Walt and Liz Crawshaw, and their partners were Tony Way and Jane Shaw. And what about the Swiss pairs? Who hit the podium?
Well, they probably came further than anybody else, Mariana.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're on their way home from the trials in Auckland. I'm not sure, but it was Murat Genk and Anne Somerville.
Nice.
And second were some more locals, Sandra Calvert and Colin Carrier. Although they're not really from New Plymouth, Mariana. They're from Urinui.
Where's that?
That's just south of Uriti.
Yeah, keep
Uriti
going.
Is where my family used to farm.
Oh, really?
North of New Plymouth, north of Waitara, heading up towards the Waikato, out in the where there's, you know, mud and slush and freezing cold and lots of hills.
Oh, bring back memories, does it?
Do you wish you'd gone round down, Mariana?
No, I was busy.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning. We're at the courthouse once again, and we've only got Judge Julie this week. G'day.
Hi.
One's Hi. Enough. I've got a question. It's not going to take very long.
Okay.
Some declarers touch cards instead of calling for them. Quite a few people do that, a significant number. The question is, if Clara touches a card, is it played?
Yes. Amazing.
Are they allowed to say, oh, no, no, not that one. I've changed my mind.
But they can. Once it touched it, it's played.
So I thought if they said they were reaching for the one above it.
Well, when you can reorganise. Most of the time I've played bridge, people have touched cards, not called for them. Recently, the law's changed, and the recommendation is you call for them. For a couple of really good reasons. One is, if you call for it, it's normally clear what you're doing. If you're concentrating on the hand, looking up and down between dummy and your hand can create errors in itself. And the last one is that the cards stay separate on the table instead of being pushed down into the middle, where they get mixed up with other cards and create a massive issue when the board gets moved on to the next table. So it is strongly recommended, unless there is a good reason, that people call for the cards, they do not touch them. But if you touch a card, what happened was people would reorganise dummy. So they'd just say, just arranging, before they touched anything. Really important okay. So if you touch a card, it is played. If you are a declarer and you touch a card from dummy, it is a played card.
If you got a dummy like me, who's, you know, could be said to be a bit untidy, right? And, you know, they've got the ace and the king placed together or whatever, the ace and the queen or whatever, and partner reaches over there and has to foss it through all my hand, can be a bit tricky. I could call.
They shouldn't have to foss it through, because they should tell you to put dummy down appropriately so that they don't have a problem. You are not helping your side at all if you create problems for declarer when you are dummy. I mean, that is not the aim of a partnership game, Barry. I'm sure Jenny could explain it to you in more detail if we asked her to.
A bit of fossicking never hurt anybody, surely.
But you're right, because a lot of people do touch the cards, and they do the bloody hovering as well.
They do. They're very helpful and they do all sorts of things, but they're not allowed to do all sorts of things. So if you put down dummy, I mean, some people need the cards close to them so that they can see them. There are some eyesight issues, particularly with an aging population, where people actually do have problems seeing the cards. That is not a problem. To have them down the table so they can be seen is fine. There is no reason really why someone else should be touching the cards other than dummy. So really, really good practice is you call the card from dummy and dummy plays it.
Playing against Patrick and Julie, and Julie's got caught short again and she's rushed off to the loo. Sometimes Patrick has to fend for himself.
And the language when I get back, if something's gone wrong, is not good. Because when I used to smoke and I would want to seriously go out for a cigarette, I couldn't because I am dummy and dummy plays the cards. And it is absolute that looking from one hand to another, you can make errors. And if I'm dummy, I don't want to help my partner make an error because that is not the thing we want to happen.
Oh, you guys would probably know that I'd be far too lazy to be reaching over there playing cards when I've got somebody over there doing my bidding.
Yeah. I must admit, I find it substantially easier to call than to reach it over and touch cards.
That's because your arms are shorter than
That is part of it, I'll grant you, but it's not the entirety, all right?
Okay, well, that's from the declarer side. What about from dummy side? Are we allowed to fiddle around with it whenever we like?
No, absolutely not. Really important, because I had someone on my Thursday morning telling someone else, for no trumps, you put the cards in suit order, spades, hearts, diamonds, clubs. There is nothing in the laws that says you have to do that, right? So you can put them down in any order, really, but you put them down in order of strength. So the highest card closest to dummy, the lowest card of the suit closest to declarer. That is very clear that you do that. You put the trump suit on the right. That is also very clear. But the order the other suits go into is just whatever random way you want it to be. And people do have preferences about which way they want the cards to go.
I played against a lady, I can't remember where, or a little, not fairly recently anyway, and I'm sure there's no law against this, but it was a bit unusual. She put the dummy down and she went, and it was in four little piles with just one card on. It looked like she only had four cards on the table, right? And then she got them in her four little piles, then she would spread them out like a magician, you know?
And it's like those people that turn their cards upside down and place them down in order. They're just showing off. The rest of us just do what people do, and that is very carefully put them down and occasionally rearrange them as we go so that they go down in the appropriate order.
Well, I don't know whether I put them down that carefully, Julie.
But they do have to be able to be seen by your partner and by your opponents, Barry.
Sometimes I just throw them down.
Yeah, and if you revoke and your side gets a bad result because you've put hidden something from your partner, then on your head be it.
It's my fault.
So you're not allowed to tap the table. You're not allowed to rearrange cards. You really, really shouldn't, in any part of the table, when you run out of a suit, suddenly rearrange your cards into a different order. It is an absolute giveaway. It gives your partner information they're not allowed if you're defending. Yeah. And it gives declarer information you just don't want them to have.
What about when you're sitting east and south wants to go and look at the card that you led, their dummy, are you allowed to smack their hand for trying to touch your card?
I have smacked somebody's hand when I was directing
one.
And I was very apologetic about it and said that I wasn't allowed to and I should never have done it. But it was because I kept telling them not to touch their cards and they kept insisting when I was trying to make a ruling. So you're not allowed to smack other people's hands. It is absolutely 100% not allowed. Call the director. And the director's not allowed to smack their hands either. Okay.
Oh, I think a bit of violence doesn't hurt. If you've got eight hearts to put down and dummy and your partner's just outbid you in spades, surely you're allowed to throw those down.
You know what? I actually had that type of hand and I put down my spades and I said, and here I am sacrificing my spades as I laid all seven of them out while he played in hearts.
The only time you can get away with throwing your cards around is if you're not playing at the club the real game, right? I did it once when I was playing rubber bridge. I made a bet I should never have made. We were losing all the tricks. We lost six tricks and I only had my seven card spade suit left, and I threw it in the air and I walked home and I really enjoyed myself. But you are not allowed to do that in a normal course of bridge, okay? It is very poor manners and absolutely appalling by me. Possibly the most enjoyable thing I've ever done in my life, just about, but besides the point, all right? You are not allowed to throw your cards around. It is just not appropriate. It is like people arguing at the table when you're playing a game in front of you, or telling their partners off, all of those things. You are there to have an enjoyable night, not to put up with tantrums by people in any form, irrespective of how much they have been incited to do so by their partner or their opponents.
I read about this guy that was playing on the 12th floor, and when the dummy went down, well, let's say he was a little bit disappointed with it, and he picked it up and threw it out the window. How does the director cope with that, Julie? It's on the 12th floor.
Oh, you get a 0% on the board if it was pairs, right? It's all your fault, and you can be penalised into the bargain. It's just not appropriate, okay?
The director would still have to run around and find a new hand for the next table,
I guess. Yeah, we just get a different bag of cards and redeal the board would be what you'd have to do.
By the way, I'm not trying to give anybody ideas about throwing their partners out the window. Oh, not their partners, their partner's hand out the window.
You're not allowed.
And now I come to think of it, some people probably do want to throw their partners out the window.
There have been some epic things in the history of bridge, I'm sure, about what happens when people don't do what other people want. At the end of the day, we are playing a game, and bridge is very much a game of being poker-faced, unlike poker. And when your hand down is dummy, you are not allowed to tap the table to say you are in dummy. You can say to your partner, you are in dummy, to stop them leading out of turn. But if you tap the table, you could be indicating a card, and you are not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to rearrange dummy just because you're a bit tidy. And I will sympathise some of the time about tidying up, because I really do tend to do that myself. Yep. But you can't rearrange the cards. Once you put them down, you leave them alone unless you are playing a card.
Just recently, we were playing at a table and dummy was down, and declarer went to play from their hand, and dummy goes, oh, you're in dummy. And it's like, oh, yeah, thanks again. Goes to play from his hand again. He says, you're in dummy. Didn't you hear me? And then the third time, he said, if I say it again, I'm going to whack you.
See, the thing about that is there's a limit to what you can tell your partner to stop your partner from doing.
Yeah,
you're perfectly fair to try and stop partner committing an infraction. You're allowed to try and stop things.
But assault's all right.
No, assault is not all right. It is never, ever all right.
I thought that was pretty clever.
There's probably people all around the country hoping that Judge Julie was going to give them permission to assault their partner.
Maybe next week. We can work on it next week, Barry.
No.
I hear you.
Okay, thank you, Julie. That's clear. I'll have to be a bit more careful in arranging my dummies in the future, perhaps.
Yes, perhaps. Put down better dummies would be a good start, one would think, but, you know.
All righty. Thanks very much.
Okay, have a good week.
Now, what have you got? Have you been gradually working your way through Zia's book?
I have, and I've got a quiz for you. Listeners, you can take part with it too. So one of the chapters in his book is about the money game versus imps. So I've got some questions for you. You need to try and tell me what type of bridge player you are more suited to in terms of money game and imps. So if you had to describe yourself in animal terms, do you think of yourself more as a thoroughbred racing horse or the great white shark in Jaws?
Ooh, well, there's a good question for you, Mariana. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Well, I'll give you the answer. If you choose the thoroughbred, play duplicate. If you choose the great white, rubber bridge is your game. You are playing in the final of the Soccer World Cup. You have an 80% chance to shoot and score a goal for fame and glory, but a 90% chance if you cross the ball to another player. Do you pass or do you shoot?
Oh, I'm definitely passing. I'll take the 90% over the 80%.
Okay. Shoot, and you are a solo player, so you're leaning towards rubber bridge. And pass, you are a team player, so duplicate is your game. Right, here's one.
Hold on a minute. That makes no sense. If I'm a teams player, I want to play imps, don't I?
Right. He reckons if you're a team player, you're playing duplicate, because solo is all about the money.
Yeah, okay. That seems a bit, seems like a teams player would want to play imps.
Okay. When it comes to systems, do you prefer Mechwell Light or Strong, Bono Trump and Stamen?
I'll just go for the second one because I'm just a country boy, as you know. Just a simple country boy.
Rubber bridge players don't like systems. They use their judgment to enhance the edge over the opponent. So, yep, duplicate players use sophisticated methods to improve the fluency of their conversation with their partner, like horses for courses, you might say. So that suits you.
You've always got an interesting view there. You've got another one for us.
You can win the Spin Gold, one of the most prestigious bridge events in the world, or the Cavendish Calcutta, which is on the Money Tour. Which is your choice?
I'd take the one for the money. I'd go for the money. There's more money in the Cavendish.
Well, gold versus glory. So by now you know which is which. So, yep, you're going for the money.
The
so
money.
It just says, are you a duplicate player or should you be considering a career change? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mariana. I won't be considering a career change. Rubber bridge is not for me. Send your emails in if you like, telling me that I should play rubber bridge. Bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. Well, I can tell
and
you now.
It won't do any good, no. And there was something else, a story about Bob Hammond, and he said he was playing in one of his many world championships with Bobby Wolfe. Are you familiar with that name?
A lot of our listeners will know who Bobby Wolfe and Bob Hammond. Cool. They were all part of the Aces team.
Yep. So the opponents were in six spades, and Bob led his singleton three of hearts. Dummy had four or five hearts, and it was obvious to the declarer, the dummy and the kibitzers and the passing waiter that the lead was a singleton. The good news was that Bobby W won the ace. The bad news was that he then went into the tank. He was having a blind spot moment. And Bob, ever the ethical player, was controlling his inner fury. Give me my rough, you bozo, was his thoughts. Anyway, Bobby W wasn't on the same wavelength and finally returned some other suit and the contract made. And he says that this hand was one of the best lessons that he had ever learnt for this reason. He said, this hand was my fault. So this is Bob Hammond. This hand was my fault. Instead of fuming inwardly at my partner, if I had been utilizing my energy to make a plan in the event that he switched, I could have saved us. There was another way, but instead he wasted all this energy internally. And he said, yep, all is not lost, Barry. Find another way.
But who amongst us, Mariana, would not be so focused on being this rough? We wouldn't be thinking of any other way. There'd be no plan B. Like you say, return the hat, you bozo.
I think it was great that he thought, actually, I could have learned a lesson. Come up with a plan B. Always have a plan B.
I'm sure it's a good lesson, but I'm just not too sure that many of us would be capable of learning it, including Bob Hammond, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, you know, when we were talking to Patrick last week, I was thinking about a comment that he said, and we were talking about the various things that you call when your partner's dummy goes down. So you're in a contract and partner's dummy goes down. If it's a great one, you do what I do and go, ta-da, which is awesome. And what you say is, what am I meant to do with that pile of junk? But what Patrick said when Julie's hand went down was, it was a very unhappy hand that my partner laid down. How could you be so polite? What reactions have you seen when dummy goes down around the table? Good ones or polite ones like that?
When we're talking to Judge Julie,
yeah,
there was the talk, you know, the bit that I read about the guy that saw the dummy and picked it up and threw it out the window on the 12th floor.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything bad, but I think he made his intentions clear.
I know but I've never thought, oh, that's a very unhappy hand you have for me. And you say, thank you, partner, through gritted teeth.
An unhappy dummy.
An unhappy dummy. When he said that, I was like, what? Barry calls it a pile of junk.
Look, I nearly always just say thank you, partner, no matter what's there, unless there's something sort of outstanding, which would be rare. But I just usually say thank you, partner, and get on with it. I mean, it's too late now, isn't it?
It is.
All we can do now is play the hand. I hope we can salvage something from it.
Ah.
There's another thing, too, that if you look at the dummy and think, hey, hell, why aren't we in some other contract, three no trumps or whatever, or if you think that, there's a bit of a chance that you might find yourself playing it in blimmin' contract and no trumps when you're actually in spades. That can happen, too. I think we've all done that. You think, God, I wish I was in three no trumps, and then you start playing it as if you were. And then somebody roughs something, and you think, how did I lose that trick?
Yeah, it does happen. And because everybody is starting their bridge lessons, I checked up on what Samantha Punch recently said in an interview about how to attract more youth players to our game. Have a listen. Send us your thoughts, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Now, bridge, apparently, is branching out. The card game is breaking free from its outdated image as an old person's game by appealing to a new generation of younger players. But it seems it's still struggling to shake off a somewhat sexist past. Let's meet Professor Samantha Punch, who leads a research team at the University of Stirling that's been exploring the benefits of bridge and is an international player herself. Samantha, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I suppose we should start with the basics. I've never played it, so tell us about bridge.
Well, it's a partnership mind sport, so you always have to play with a partner. You have to communicate and cooperate with them. So you need to kind of build trust and empathy. But that means you also sort of enjoy the highs and lows together as a partnership. And I think that's what makes it different from other mind sports. But it also has kind of psychological human elements to it, alongside mental aspects like logical deduction, strategy, problem solving. It's basically a card game and you use a normal pack of cards. I would certainly say it's the best of all card games.
Yeah, I presume given that list you've just told us about, you see these as being some of the real positive benefits of bridge.
It's fantastic for social connection because of these partnership and team elements. It's also good for brain fitness, for mental health and well-being. So it's great for healthy aging. And at Stirling, we firmly believe that healthy aging is something that should start in childhood rather than wait until maybe later in life to think about how we might age well. And bridge can really help with that. We see it as a game for life. And it also offers opportunities to connect generations, get people away from their screens, from their digital devices. And it's something families can do together. So we really believe it has multiple benefits.
Yeah, I mentioned perhaps the image of it being an older person's game, but some of the young people in your study have been getting pretty good at it, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. We're delighted in Scottish Bridge and also in other countries now. We're seeing many schoolgirls competing in youth events alongside boys. So we're kind of starting to see a shift in bridge, a bit similar to that of STEM subjects like maths in the past, where people used to believe that it was a male-dominated field and girls couldn't play, where now they're seeing that actually that's not the case. And actually it was perhaps more to do with ingrained stereotypes. And if really girls and boys are given the same opportunities, the same support and encouragement, then we can see that both girls and boys can compete together.
What is the connection with maths here? Are you having to do a lot of calculations as you play?
You only actually need to count to 13. So it's a bit of a myth. You don't have to be really good at maths, but it can help with things like arithmetic and probabilities, working out, you know, who holds which cards, that kind of thing.
Is it better to get the kids involved earlier? I've never played bridge and I've always heard it discussed as being sort of hellishly complicated and full of tactics. Does it become more difficult to learn those things as you get older?
Bridge has different levels and you can enjoy it at different levels. It's a social game, but it's also a highly competitive game. So it depends whether you're playing it for fun and for the socialisation or whether you want the more cutthroat competition. So if you're going to want to represent your country, then it's probably a good idea. The sooner you start, the better. I started late in life at 30. And my only regret is I wish I'd started earlier, because I think the earlier you start, the easier it can be.
And I mentioned at the introduction, this notion of sexism in bridge. Tell us more about that. What are the thinking here? What have been the issues in the past and are things changing?
Well, At the top levels of the game, bridge is male dominated. So that means there can be a perception that men's brains are somehow better wired for bridge in terms of being more rational and perhaps less emotional. But this, we found, reflects very traditional, outdated thinking about the differences between men and women's brains. And we now know that experience wires the brain. So in other words, our brains adapt to the environment. So if we're offering girls and boys equal opportunities, they can both do well in mind sport. So it doesn't have to be male dominated at the top.
But there has been a feeling in some cases that mixed teams, for instance, there's more deference given to the male player.
There can be, yes. There's elements of sexism, as there is in all walks of life. And there are occasions where girls are treated differently from boys. And that's why we at Stirling University, we're working really hard to change that, and we've introduced a gender policy to raise awareness about these kinds of gender issues, and that policy has been introduced at European level, and we're hoping it's going to get rolled out at world level. And what we're trying to do through the research is address these kinds of issues to ensure that bridge can be as welcoming and as inclusive for everyone and for people of all ages.
Well, it's interesting stuff, and let's hope it encourages more people to take the game up. Thank you very much, Professor Samantha Punch, the leading research team at Stirling University.
I understand the senior team's been named. And who are they, Barry?
The senior team is Mireille Yink and Anne Somerville.
Great results recently, haven't they?
Fresh off the back of their victory at New Plymouth.
Nice.
Also, John and Jane Skipper. And the third pair, Richard Solomon and Ellen Grant. Reserve pair of Hugh and Di McAllister.
We had another good success at New Plymouth. Pretty cool. And to close the show, I've got a question for Barry. When you're opening One No Trump can have a five-card major. Is it better to have a weak five-card major or a strong five-card major?
No.
No what?
It doesn't matter. If I've got a balanced hand with a five-card major in, I'm 5-3-3-2, I'll just always open a No Trump.
So does it matter whether it's weak or a strong major?
I don't think so. I just think if you're in range and you've got a five-card major, I'm absolutely fully convinced that it's better to open a No Trump. It's not going to work all the time, but nothing does. And if I open a major and partner responds, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to rebid, Mariana. So that's the reason. It's not because of the quality of the major.
I had some discussion with it while I was over in the Gold Coast, and they said, oh, you always want to have a strong major when you're opening up One No Trump so that you can get some tricks with it. Okay. It didn't really bother me which one it was. Some people say if the major is strong that they open up the major, but again,
you've still got the same problem. And I know some people will rebid their five-card suit. To me, that's what I think.
You heard it here on the Brit Zone, folks. Anyway, hope to see you at the table soon.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.